Hello and welcome to Out in the Bay, gay radio from San Francisco. I'm Eric Jansen. Tonight, the man behind Heklina. It's said that behind every great man is a great woman. Well then, in my mind, it follows that behind every great drag queen is a fierce and fabulous man. Heklina is hostess and creator of the long-running alternative drag show Tranny Shack and co-creator and co-star of San Francisco's cult hit live staged drag versions of The Golden Girls, Sex and the City, and other classic TV sitcoms. She was voted Community Grand Marshal of the 2004 San Francisco Pride Parade and won the 2009 Pride Creativity Award for Outstanding Artistic Contribution to the LGBT community. Heklina has co-starred in a series of short films, The Tranilogy of Terror, Drag Queen Horror Spoofs, written and directed by longtime collaborator Peaches Christ, and also was in the feature-length film Baby Jane, a drag spoof of Whatever Happened to Baby Jane with the dueling divas Betty Davis and Joan Crawford. She's been on Out in the Bay several times before, but always as Heklina. Tonight, we meet Heklina's creator, who spent much of his formative years in Iceland, did a stint in the U.S. Navy on his journey to becoming the man behind Heklina. Stefan Gregelka, welcome back to Out in the Bay.
Well, gee, thank you so much. And it's true. I've never been on a show to promote Stefan Gregelka. It feels very, very strange.
Yeah, and I'm sure people aren't as used to that name as they are.
No, no. Most people, when they say, what should I call you? Should I call you Heklina or Stefan? I just Heklina. Because a lot of my private life, I just be like, you know, I really would rather, in a public way, people just refer to me as Heklina. I don't know how it morphed into that. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I know that when I first started doing drag, I had an identity crisis. I was like, who am I? What am, you know, and now it's just like, just call me Heklina. Everybody calls me that.
Mm-hmm. So, and when did you first start doing drag?
It was around 1992, and it was about a year after I'd moved to San Francisco, and I started doing underground theater with a troupe called the Sick and Twisted Players. And I fell in love with a lot of the performance aspects of that. It was very punk rock. It was very underground. And little by little in that troupe, I began doing drag roles here and there. It had a lot of similarities to the shows I'm doing now. It was live stage productions of things that maybe were more popular in the cultural lexicon back then. Live stage productions of The Partridge Family, Brady Bunch, Facts of Life, you know what I mean? Stuff like that. Or movies like The Exorcist, The Omen. It was a lot of horror undertone, you know, horror movies mashed with TV shows.
Yeah.
Very
okay.
Campy.
So yeah. There's a little history behind the TV show sitcom.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, yeah, it's fun to do. It's not serious theater. We have fun doing it, and audience members seem to have fun coming to see it.
Yeah, and it must make some money. Those shows are packed.
Oh, I don't
care. The Golden Girls.
I don't care about the money, please.
I know.
I'm doing this for the art.
Artistic. Mm-hmm. So I should mention, by the way, that the 14th annual Tranny Shack Star Search is coming up next Friday, February 15th. We'll also be giving details about this great show and how all you aspiring drag divas out there can get ready for it. So, Stefan, as my co-producer Marilyn Pittman, who's interviewed you at least three times, has probably told you, we know that many of what she calls the un-gays listen to Out in the Bay. So for those un-gay and gay folk who don't really know what Tranny Shack is, let's fill them in. Briefly, what is Tranny Shack? How would you describe it to someone who's never seen it?
Well, people have, you know, asked me over the years, like, what is it? What is it? But it's essentially a drag show. But it's a drag show without rules to it, as far as, like, gender or what people can do. And that was very much the case when it was a weekly drag show at the Stud. We did everything on that tiny stage over 12 and a half years that you can imagine. People injected themselves, poured blood on themselves, pulled things out of their butts, put things in their butts. The sex acts, all that stuff, fire, you know what I mean?
Charo had a lookalike contest there.
Charo
didn't she?
Was
that
there.
I was there, yes. For that one. She
oh, wow.
Was interviewed on Out in the Bay, and we went to the lookalike contest. That was really fun.
It was fun. She was a fabulous, fabulous guest. We had a lot of guests over the years like that. Pink was there. Gwen Stefani was there. Courtney Love, you know, Woody Harrelson. The celebrities, whenever they're in town, they would drop by. But essentially, it was a drag show. I began doing drag parts in this theater troupe. I was younger, much younger then. It was something that I had fun doing. There was a time when I did drag just to have fun and to do it. And that's how Tranny Shack started. It was very, I was so not part of the 9-to-5 world that I thought there was nothing wrong in my mind with a drag show starting at midnight on a Tuesday night. It just seemed made perfect sense to me. And there were all these people who were also of a like mind. There was a real need for a performance space, a non-traditional performance space at that time, because everybody that influenced me when I first moved to the city, they'd all died the year before I began Tranny Shack. There was a real lack of a non-traditional drag performance venue. And it felt like a celebratory time, too, because the life-saving HIV meds had just come out. People, you know what I mean? It just seemed like the time and place that it took place in, it just took off. People were ready to celebrate and party again. And it started very much organically. I never planned for it to become successful. I never planned to be 16 years later, this drag persona.
Yeah, I mean, the first few years, I mean, it seems like it was packed, but you didn't think, oh, this is something that's going to, like, last for a long, long time and, you know, be financially successful fairly, right?
Well, and, you know, it would have lasted as a weekly club had I kept doing it, but I just couldn't keep doing it. I couldn't keep... I was getting older. I just didn't want to go into that same stage, that same room, year after year and do the show.
Every Tuesday night at midnight. Midnight started to be late for you,
Tuesday
too, didn't
night,
it?
Yeah, actually, like the other night I did a show at the Punchline, and it started at 8 on a Tuesday, and I was like, oh, God, 8 o'clock on a Tuesday, which goes to show. It was a different city back then. Now people don't go out because of the internet. You know, gays are there at home. If they want to get laid, they go on Grindr or whatever. But back then in the 90s, everybody went out every night of the week. And we looked at nights like Fridays and Saturdays as bridge and tunnel nights. So people went out Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, you know what I mean? Every
right.
night. You know,
not
so
an it was, amateur night.
Yeah, not an amateur night. Yeah, it was very different back then.
Right, right. You mentioned a moment ago you were looking for some drag that wasn't traditional. So I think probably a lot of our listeners, because she's so well-known, Donna Sachet, I mean, she, like, hosts the telecast of the Pride Parade every year. She's at just about every charity event there is, and she's a much more traditional, I guess you would say, drag queen from the imperial court. So she looks more... So Tranny Shack contestants and participants are more like... just more freaky looking?
Well, yeah, I think they're more freaky looking, but I think the important thing, the main differentiation, and I don't want to... I think over the years, Tranny Shack... got this, people thought you must really despise traditional drag or traditional drag queens, and I don't. It's just not something that I came from. I didn't come from a background of that. You know, like a lot of real traditional drag, you have a drag mother, you come from this court that tells you the kind of rules you have to follow to do drag, the kind of drag you have to do. And I never came from any of that kind of background. I was very much a punk rock kid, and we pulled those punk rock aspects into drag. The stuff I do or did back then was very, you know, it was like Bjork or Susie and the Banshees or the Sex Pistols or whatever I felt like doing on stage, we would do it. And also very conceptual. And I think
Gaga ripped you off.
Actually, I had Lady Gaga at Tranny Shack maybe 6 months before she got really, really huge. And actually, I saw her perform and I was like, wow, this girl's great. She's really going to go places. I had no idea where she was going to go. But actually, I still have the footage of her. She mixed my name into the intro at Tranny Shack. She was like, Heklina, Tranny Shack, got Lady Gaga. You know, so I mean, I hung on to that video. But, of course, next time she came through town, I couldn't get a hold of her because she changed management and everything. So it was crazy.
Yeah.
But, I'm sorry. Can I just... The thing about Tranny Shack, about the no rules, is that also you can be a woman. You can be... You know, anything you want to do is... What really only mattered at Tranny Shack was the performance aspect. It didn't matter about your gender or what you looked like. As long as you delivered on stage. And that's the main thing about Tranny Shack. Not that you're punk rock or that you're non-traditional or traditional or whatever. You know, because I think some punk rock shocking people, that's all, they're a one-trick pony. And they don't have a whole lot more to give than that on stage. While some old school drag can be very entertaining.
So the bottom line is pleasing the audience.
Bottom line is entertain the audience and don't take yourself too seriously, because ultimately you're a man in a dress, and you know, I'm not there to be worshipped. I'm just there to entertain you.
Speaking of not taking yourselves too seriously, Joanne, can we play the theme from that you use? It's the Muppets theme song that you actually use to start every Tranny Shack show.
Yeah, this
show.
Is the intro
right?
to every Tranny Shack show.
It's the Muppet Show! to raise the curtain on the Muppet Show tonight. Why do we always come here?
I guess we'll never know.
So that's great. It's time to put on makeup. It's time to...
Yeah, and then... So it's actually listening to that song, because whenever I hear that song, I start to tense up. Like, oh, the show's starting. So I was just sitting here listening to the song. The lyrics are very much like, time to put on makeup. It's time to dress up bright. You know, why do we always come here? So it's appropriate to a show that doesn't take itself too seriously. But somehow, ironically, over the years, people took it very seriously. It became this serious, big thing.
And then it became a huge scandal when Monique Jenkinson, my yoga teacher of all things, who's also known as Phonique and is a fantastic dancer, she won one year. And it's the first time a biological woman won Trainee-shack, right?
Well, that's what I mean about it not mattering to me what gender you are or what you do. I mean, because she just, the bottom line is she had the best performance at that pageant. And I think people can talk the talk and say, oh, I don't care about gender. But then once a genetic female wins the title, there were all this bitterness. I actually had to come on NPR. I don't know if it was this studio or not, or maybe the other one, and defend it. And there was like another drag queen on the panel with me who was saying how it wasn't actual drag and people were calling in. And it was just so surprising to me because I don't think in those terms. Right. If you have a vagina, you're not allowed to put a wig on and perform. It's not the school of drag that I come from.
Right, right. You're listening to Out in the Bay, gay radio from San Francisco. I'm Eric Jansen. My guest is Stefan Grigelko, a.k.a. Heklina, creator of Tranny Shack and co-creator and co-star of the live staged drag versions of The Golden Girls, Sex and the City, and other TV sitcoms, which have become quite a cult hit in San Francisco. You can learn more about Heklina on her Facebook page, Heklina Heklina, that's spelled H-E-K-L-I-N-A. There's also a Tranny Shack page. We've got a Facebook page, too. It's Out in the Bay. So let's talk about Tranny Shack Star Search, which is coming up on next Friday, February 15th. What is that?
So when I was doing the weekly club, Tranny Shack Star Search was a contest for people who had never performed at the club Tranny Shack but wanted to break in. And then the Tranny Shack pageant, which was this really huge event, it was for people who would become names at Tranny Shack, the club. So there were two different contests. The Tranny Shack pageant became this huge, huge deal where finally we were doing it at the Gift Center for 2,000 people, you know, and Sandra Bernhardt and other people were judging. And it got so big, and then I quit doing the weekly club, and it seemed like there was no need to do that anymore. So this has become, in effect, the pageant. This was the little contest we did at the Stud every year that's now this bigger thing where so people can break in and perform at Tranny Shack now that Tranny Shack has become this monthly, almost monthly, bigger event at DNA Lounge, you know.
Right.
It's become even bigger and more elaborate than it was at the Stud.
And now pretty much every month honors or the theme is some famous performer, right? A tribute night to
Correct.
Lady Gaga or Beyonce or whoever it is.
Not Beyonce.
Oh, you haven't done Beyonce?
No,
okay.
Maybe.
Well,
yeah, I liked her.
To think you did
I liked
ago.
Her, I liked her performance at the Super Bowl. It was great. But,
okay. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
But so is this the Tranny Shack Star Search, is that where people come and like basically try out in a way? Are they auditioning sort of? Or do they have to be pre-screened to get in?
We
get
pre-screen
to it?
Them.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm so old and, you know, I don't really go out to little drag shows anymore because the real truth is that I go to these smaller drag shows is that drives me crazy as a producer because all I can do is sit and look at the things that are going wrong with the sound or the lights or whatever. So Bobby, my stage manager at Tranny Shack, he goes to every drag show and he comes back and goes, okay, this person would be good and that person
report,
would be good. He gives
scout.
Me the report.
Yeah.
So that's how we handpicked each year's contestants. And we have a great bunch of contestants this year.
Great, 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 great. So, is it sold out yet? Are these things, do they tend to sell out? I know the pageant sold out.
Yeah, they do sell out. It's different. Nightclub events are different than theater events. Theater events sell out well in advance. Nightclub events, you don't really sell your majority of the tickets until the week of.
So is it at the DNA Lounge also?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And how can people get tickets?
They can go to trannyshack.com for all the information. And, it's get ready for a fierce, fierce, and this is a word that's overused a lot, but it's a fierce, fierce battle.
I used it in my intro, and now I'm ashamed.
No, fierce is, I love the word. I love the word.
Okay, so tell us, now I want to get back in your background a little bit. How did you come up with your drag persona, Heklina? How did Heklina come to you?
Well, again, it was just like, It was something that, and I don't remember really being that enamored with drag queens until the early 90s, mid-90s, when I began to look at some of the New York drag queens, and I saw that they were these strong individuals with really strong personas, and I began to kind of look and idolize them, and I was dabbling in drag a little bit myself, and but it wasn't anything I ever said, I'm going to become this legendary drag performer. Tranny Shek took off, became successful, almost overnight, and I was like, well, I better learn what the trade. I better learn how to put my makeup on. I better learn how to perform. I better learn how to MC. So it was a trial by fire. I looked at other people, and I was like, okay. And I just, you know what I mean? Heklina was a name that I thought of for 5 seconds, and I just took it because I moved to San Francisco from Iceland. And Hekla is a volcano in Iceland. So when I was, my first time I was doing drag in San Francisco, I was like, Heklina. And literally 5 seconds, and then it just stuck.
So, can you describe Heklina's personality? Is it yours, or is it somebody totally different?
It's me. Heklina is me. Although now, I will say that Heklina is much more my personality, just turned way up. When I'm not Heklina, I don't like attention. I get very, very exhausted by people asking me questions. Like if I go to a social situation, people are grilling me about Tranny Shek or this or that, I get very, unlike Peaches Christ, my dear friend who does, she loves talking about stuff all the time. She never gets tired of it.
Even when
she's Josh, and it just wears me out until finally I'm just like, you know, can we talk about, it'd be like if you were a hairdresser or something and you were going to dinner and people are like, now tell me about that Brazilian blowout you did the other day.
Right.
You just don't want to talk about that.
Right.
So when I'm not Heklina, I turn it way down.
So when you are Heklina, does it give you a, like, liberty to be like more outrageous than you ever could if you weren't, you know, wearing your wig and makeup? Because
absolutely.
You couldn't get away with that.
Absolutely.
Kind of
you can get away with anything in drag, pretty much. You can flirt with any boy, and I do. And you can, you know, you can. I can get up on stage, and it's almost like I look at it almost like I'm throwing on my armor to go into battle. Sometimes it's like, you know, you're throwing your makeup on and your pads and your all that stuff, and you throw it on, and then you put the wig on, and you're like, boom, out the door. You know what I mean? Or sometimes I'm backstage and I'm just hanging onto the curtain, just going like, okay, boom, you know, and you just go out there because that's what they're there for. The people are paying to see you. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So even if you're not always in the mood or not feeling it, it's like they're paid to see you. You better turn it on.
Mm-hmm. So you grew up partly in Iceland and partly in the United States. Is that right?
Yes, I was born in the States. My mother met my father in Iceland. He was in the military. And they got married and moved to the States. And I was born in Minneapolis. And then I moved around a lot to upstate New York, New England. But always back and forth between the States and Iceland.
So how old were you when you were last in Iceland for any extended period of time? I mean, when last time you lived there? 20s?
I moved to San Francisco when I was 24. And that was in the early 90s.
So was there any, you know, gay scene or drag scene there?
There wasn't. Actually, there was a very small gay scene. Well, there were a lot of gay people there, but there was no gay scene there. And so whenever I remember just being very bored very often in Iceland, and I would go to, I was a little bit fed up with America at that point because Bush was in president. And so I would go to Europe a lot. I would go to, you know, England and Amsterdam and Berlin or whatever. And that's, I'd get my gay outlet in those places. And what was the question?
I don't remember. But tell me.
About gay life in Iceland. But then I went back there since I became Heklina, and they heard about me becoming this kind of drag persona. They flew me back a couple times. And I went there for Gay Pride, and it's flipped 180 degrees because now it's so accepting.
They were
always accepting of gay people, but it was no rights or anything. And so it was surreal performing in downtown Reykjavik with like 40,000 people, even little kids holding these rainbow flags, and it was just like, wow, you know what I mean? It's really come full circle. Even the president,
big tourism ads in the gay magazines.
Even the president got dressed up in drag for the Pride Parade last year.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Okay. Cool.
Mm-hmm.
Did you tell me about the Navy? You said you were in the Navy for a little while.
Yeah.
How did that come about? Your father was in the military. Is that part of the reason?
Well, a little bit. So I moved from Iceland back to the States when I was, this is backtracking. When I was 16, my mom had had enough with me in Iceland. I was kind of a difficult kid. And she sent me to live with my dad in Minnesota. And they couldn't deal with me either. I was kind of going through a lot when I was a teenager. So I joined the Navy. And you know how, if you've lived long enough, I'm not saying I'm ancient, but I'm in my mid-40s. When you've lived long enough, you can look back at something and go, that feels like it was three lifetimes ago. You know what I mean? It feels like a different person that went through all that. But I was very young. I was only 18 in the Navy. And I didn't last long in the Navy. I was just, not ready. I was just not ready. I was just partying all the time.
Yeah.
And
what was like? Were you on a ship most of the time?
I was an aircraft carrier, and
a lot of gay goings on.
Actually, no, not on the ship itself. Mm-hmm. Although maybe I was too young to be tuned into it, but I would go off the ship to have some gay goings on. But I must have had some intelligence even through that haze of marijuana or whatever I was doing, because I took the intelligence test in the Navy and I was really intelligent, they told me. So I got a really cushy computer job in the Navy, which they said it was like, wow, you're really lucky to get this job. And I completely, screwed that up. And so I was in front of the computer basically frying on acid, in the Navy, just like, get me out of this,
So did you eventually leave or did they kick you out?
They kicked me out because, they had zero tolerance for drugs. Reagan was president and there was marijuana in my urine and they just kicked me out. And I ended up living in San Diego And then the drugs really took off, and then, it was very much of it was the 80s. Everybody was doing drugs, and I don't know. I got out of that. My mom came to San Diego to get me, took me back to Iceland. I went into my first rehab, and, that was the late 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And then I lived in Iceland for a few years, and then I moved to San Francisco.
So how'd you choose San Francisco? Had you been here before?
Only as a child, as a tourist, but a friend of mine had come to San Francisco on a visit, a girlfriend of mine, and she came back to Iceland. She was a lesbian. And she was saying, like I said, I was kind of fed up with America at that point. But she came back from San Francisco and was raving about it, saying how we should go there. And it was one of those things that, again, that people do, hopefully only when they're very young, no money, no real plan, moved to San Francisco. Immediately I fell in love with it, and I felt right at home. To this day, I feel at home in San Francisco. If I go anywhere else, no matter how fabulous it is, I always feel like I'm not at home until I come back to San Francisco. And I fell immediately into the crowd of performance artists and performance people in San Francisco. They're very colorful, very, I was really enthralled by all those people and what they were doing, and I wanted to be a part of it. And eventually I was.
There you are. So mm-hmm. In the few minutes we have left, let's talk a little bit about Sex and the City, which is going on now.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I first saw the Golden Girls, the drag version of the Golden Girls with you, and I'm not going to remember all their names right now, Eddie.
Cookie Dough, Matthew Martin, Pollo Del Mar.
Yeah, which was great fun back in this little house
Street. It was on Grove, yeah.
Grove Street.
Wow,
that was a long time ago. That was the summer edition that I saw that thing, and I was like, oh, I remember this episode. They must be doing these verbatim because I remember seeing this episode with my mom.
Uh-huh.
And there were lesbians in the show. I didn't even realize there were lesbians in the show and, these gay guys in one of the episodes. And it's grown to the point where you're selling at the Victoria Theater for the Christmas shows
it's
now.
It's crazy how popular the show is.
It's
really
are
insane.
You saying you don't even believe it yourself?
Well, no, I mean, I just feel like I'm always stunned at... and I'm not tuning my own horn, but I sometimes at Tranny Shack, I'm just going like, God, look at all these people that are here for this show. It's like, because it feels like I'm still that little kid that doesn't know what the hell he's doing, except...
The imposter complex, huh?
Well, kind of. It's kind of like, if only they knew the real me, it's like they'd know that, But it's actually where we are. I mean, when I look at it, we are presenting this entertainment to people, and it really resonates with people. And it's something that I would like to go see if I was going to see a show. I'm not the kind of serious thespian that wants to go see Dostoevsky or Death of a Salesman or something. Well, to a certain extent, I want to go somewhere and laugh.
But there's definitely some social commentary.
There is.
Yeah,
there is.
Yeah, but it's not just like you could just laugh. You don't have to be heavy about it.
Exactly. You don't need to be. I don't like being lectured to. I like being entertained, and that's what I like to give to the audience.
So you've done several sitcoms, Golden Girls, Roseanne, and Designing Women.
Designing Women, yes.
And now Sex and the City. Mm-hmm. To me, it's kind of, I have seen Sex and the City at the Rebel last year, and there's an, are these different episodes
these are,
now?
Yeah, these are new episodes.
And where are they being shown?
There, it's at Rebel.
It's also at Rebel,
yeah.
Okay.
I gave you the postcard.
Yeah, I know, and I didn't like that. I was going to let you tell it by yourself. That venue is so difficult sometimes. It's so narrow.
Well, you know what? We're improving it. We knocked out those stupid shelves.
Oh, the wall shelves.
That's what was really ruining the sight lines. So we knocked those out, and the stage is bigger. Because, you know, we were doing the impossible for that first show. We were, like, putting a show on, and this, you know, because if you feel like you're watching the show in an airplane, it's these really tight aisles. Mm-hmm. And now we've got rid of all that, so it's gotten to be a better experience.
Good, that's great. But it was packed. It was packed. So, because I guess Sex and the City is, you know, it's iconic.
Right.
And yet it's so different from the other shows. It's, like, more modern. And to me, it's not as much of a sitcom. It's a little more serious, but it still works. And, you know, Heclina plays Carrie Bradshaw and Lady Bear as, what's her name, Miranda?
Miranda.
She is just hysterical. anyway, they're all hysterical. It's great. I think that's about it. Anything you want to, you know, leave us with?
No, just thanks for having me on the show. And yeah, anybody that wants information, because I'm always the consummate promoter, just go to trannyshack.com. Lots of stuff coming up that, you know, field trips to Hawaii and Reno and other shows. So you can always go to trannyshack.com for that information.
Well, how many other cities are there Tranny Shack, official Tranny Shack events in?
Let's see, there's Hawaii, there is Seattle, Portland, Los Angeles, and Reno. I think that's it.
Is your family proud that you're making a living as a drag queen?
You know what? Do
you like the word drag queen? Should I say
it? I do. I do. I hate really serious performers who are like, I am an artist. I'm not a drag queen. It's like, sorry, if you're putting on a dress and a wig, you're a drag queen. But my family never, ever want to talk about what I do for a living, but they're always more than happy to get a loan from me, but it's never like, we don't want to know where the money came from.
You're not only making money, you're making enough money to loan your parents. That's great. Okay. Stefan Grigelko, thanks so much for sharing your story. Did I manage to screw up your name once? I said it right all three times.
It was fabulous.
Thank you so much. Thank you for sharing your story, and Heclina's Out in the Bay. And listeners, you can learn more about Heclina, creator of Tranny Shack, and about the 14th annual Tranny Shack Star Search on the Facebook page or on the Tranny Shack page, trannyshack.com.
Go to trannyshack.com. That's the best way.
If you missed part of our conversation or just want to hear it again or tell your friends, you can hear the whole program on our website, outinthebay.org. You can also see some pictures of Heclina, which she looks like when she's not just in boy clothes, because you can't see her anyway right now, because it's on the radio. So you can see that on our website, outinthebay.org. We've redesigned it. We've got now a page which our favorites, about a dozen of our favorite shows from our past 8 years on the air. Let us know what you think of the new site. Thanks to Jamie Borshek for the redesign. Learn more about Jamie at her website, jtothebee.com. That's jtothebee.com. By the way, next week for Valentine's Day, we'll re-air a very special interview with Phyllis Lyon and the late Del Martin, who told us about gay and lesbian life in San Francisco in the 1950s. You can hear about one of their infamous Castro Street bar crawls. And they also shared with us their love story. That was an interview conducted back in 2006. You'll hear some of their favorite music, too. That's next week on Out in the Bay. Out in the Bay is independently produced by me and Marilyn Pittman. We thank KLW, our host station, for studio use and airtime, and tonight's engineer, Joanne Marr. We've been producing Out in the Bay for 8 years. We love your words of encouragement. We'd love your financial support, too. As an independent production, we depend on community support. It's easy and tax deductible on our website, outinthebay.org. Our theme music was composed and performed by San Francisco musician Holly Ann Mead. We'd love to hear from you with segment suggestions, comments, and questions, so write to us, Eric@outinthebay and Marilyn@outinthebay.com. I'm Eric Jansen. Thanks for listening. Thank you.